All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Tessitore, a writer of names and flavor text for Snacks. Wizards of the Coast and articles of Gathering Magic. Snacks. And with me, as always, is the extremely flavorful and extremely rude Mr. Mike Linneman.
Back in the saddle doing that flavor-ish. You know how it do. We got a crap load of stuff happening today. Like, this is...
Oh, yeah. Today was...
just all the things. What happened today?
Just magical Vorthos Christmas land.
Just everything.
Straight up Flavor Wednesday.
Cripes. Like, all flavor. Okay, we got to get right into it. Tons of news with Innistrad. We had a vote to go out. People already said, talk about it. So we're like, all right.
So obviously this is our conspiracy snack time episode.
Snack time. Total. Nailed it. We'll get to that eventually, too, of course, but... Right now, we got to get into Innistrad, and we're going into Flavor Jams. We got a ton of crap to cover. So, OG Innistrad, Ant, what do you got?
All right, so my OG Innistrad Flavor Gem today is Black Cat. And the reason that I picked this is simply for its flavor text. Its last life is spent tormenting your dreams.
It's not bad.
It's really freaking good. Are you kidding me? It's perfectly encapsulates what the card does mechanically. It's a one-liner that fits into black. It's fitting with the art, which Dave Plumbo just knocked out of the park. Like, yep. It's win. And the name is sick, too. Just Black Cat. And it's a black card, and it's a cat. It's also a zombie. If you can't tell, I'm really excited about today.
today's a huge day for both of us. We got a bunch of ish to go on. I remember playing Black Cat back in the day, and I always loved swinging it in and then throwing like an equipment on it, and people were like, come on, just annoying.
Yeah, I really liked how Innistrad came out and everyone was like all excited. Oh, it was the greatest limited format ever. Oh, it's the greatest flavor ever, blah 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 blah. Dark Ascension was around the corner, and everyone was just thinking, oh, how are they gonna top Innistrad? What kind of card could they possibly make that would top Innistrad? And then I remember Black Cat being spoiled, and everyone was like, yeah, they topped it.
Yeah. Well, Dark... I mean, Dark Ascension...
You win!
It was so flavorful, but the set itself didn't have a lot of value for people. So, yeah, that's great! Where's the next one? You know? Yeah. Right away, people were like, well, how does this resolve? Nothing really changed. And I was like, oh, okay, cripes, just relax. Things are coming along. My choice, I chose Killing Wave, a card from Avacyn Restored, Steve Argyle piece. Mainly, I choose it for two reasons. One, this is an award-winning artwork. It was in Spectrum. The Art Annual, very, very cool. I like it, second, because you can actually see that she's wearing heels. And anytime you have the ability for cosplayers to see an aspect of someone that you don't, usually their feet get cut off, you know? So I was like, she's got heels on. That's strange.
Good point. I never would have thought of that. But that's a good
point. Most people were like, oh, she's got heels on.
Yeah, that's something that you think about when you decide, okay, I'm gonna cosplay Tybalt, right? Yep. And you're sitting there and you're going through and you're figuring out what he looks like, and then you realize I have no idea what kind of shoes he has on.
What is he wearing? You really have no idea.
Interesting.
But this is the type of artwork I like seeing. You're like, oh, she can fly. Okay, that's cool. And that's the shoe kick she got. Sweet.
Or she's really good at jumping and making jumping look awesome.
She can jump really freaking high.
And really well.
Really, really high. And then you should love the flavor for this. I think it's one of
the
best.
I love the flavor text on this card. I love any card that is a quote that's attributed to one of the major characters that totally fits them. Like, to a T, and really builds their personality for us. So just saying, like, I came looking for demons and I find a plane full of angels. I hate angels. Like, you can almost read that flavor text in Liliana's voice. You can hear it kind of resonating in your head.
Right.
Like, her absolute disgust. She shows up, you know, this plane that she's been to numerous times, this plane that she loves, looking for Grizzlebrand, and she just gets the embodiment of white mana, like everything that she is not, basically.
And she's just forced to deal with that ish.
Right. In true Liliana fashion. So she just strips them down to the bone.
Just, you know, no easy buckets.
Which is interesting, by the way. I know that in some, I believe it's some Asian countries, right, where they can't show skeletons.
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you know if that
no,
was true
no,
for this
no.
card?
That was a previous regime that they felt like they had to do that. This card actually looks the same.
Is that no longer a thing?
It's no longer a thing.
That's interesting.
It was a thing for a very, very long time, though.
Yeah, I know it definitely was for Ravnica, because there was something that was just on Twitter. Somebody got a foil version of a card that the art is different.
Yeah,
and I know for
yeah.
a fact that Wayne Reynolds did that skeleton vampire and had to paint a layer on top of it to change it.
A lot of those old school guys do, which was really interesting for some of those pieces, because then the only original was like that Chinese version.
Right, right, exactly.
Which people were super pissed about. And a friend of mine actually bought those forests from that weird portal set, because they forced it to have Chinese lands too.
What?
Yeah. So that portal set that this was about, that this all became a hullabaloo about.
What, Portal Three Kingdoms?
No, it was Portal 2, I believe?
One with the guns.
Yeah, it might have been the one with the guns. But they had to redo, you know, the skeletons and the zombies and whatever to have this change. But they also had to change the lands.
Why?
Something against, like, the party rule or something like that. They don't want to have, like, these weird, fantastical places or...
It just had to be, like, outside?
But it was, like, really, really cool. It's Chinese Portal 1.
Interesting.
And the forests had, like, bamboo instead.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious.
How do I not know about this?
Because they were so
Can you
rare.
Get, like, are they really rare? Are they expensive? Like, okay, so let's say that I am making a Kamigawa-themed deck, and I want to have bamboo forests.
Bamboo forests, okay.
How much would that run?
Portal 1, S Chinese, alternate art land set. Okay. So Portal 1, Simplified Chinese, 16 of the 20 basic lands had new unique art, okay? The swamps were exactly the same, because a swamp is a swamp, who cares? You can buy them for a group of 20 forests from Channel Fireball for $800.
What?
Really, $800. $800 to get 20 lands. They are that rare.
That is absurd.
Yeah, they're like $20 a piece. They're unbelievably rare.
Someone in China is listening to our podcast right now and realizing that they are sitting on a gold mine.
Seriously, look, this was like the coolest thing. So a buddy of mine bought all of them, and they're really cool looking. So he bought all four lands from the art director. His name is Lee T. He's also the guy that he was contracted by Wizards to be the art director for Portal 3 Kingdoms. So no Wizards art director did Portal 3 Kingdoms. They contacted this guy, and he contracted out to people from Japan.
You just blew my mind. I think we could just end the cast.
Just end the cast?
I have nothing left to say.
Later, guys! No, that was totally a thing. It was a huge, huge deal to have these lands. And they're like super rare. I mean, they're not... super expensive in the grand scheme of thing compared to like Guru, but they're still damn expensive.
I feel like the only way that I could top this would be to segue into female werewolf planeswalker.
Female? So, older lady. So, not a young woman. Planeswalker. Werewolf. How many other checkboxes can we put on this? Like,
yeah, I was just blown away by that. That was one thing that I really didn't expect. I mean, I came into Innistrad pretty much expecting that we were going to get a legendary werewolf, because that's the one thing that Mark Rosewater, you know, everybody wants that, right? And I feel like everybody still wants it. So let me back up. If we don't get that, I feel like people will still kind of be like upset, right? Because
they're
going to
assume it's coming in the next set. And
they want
not,
to be able to make the werewolf commander deck, whatever, right?
Right.
Part of me thinks that somebody painted a legendary werewolf, and someone in creative was just like, we got to make that a planeswalker. Like, the art's just too good.
Well, I mean,
or it was totally planned. Like, that, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Winona Nelson, I mean, she's... She's made other Planeswalkers before. She made the Chandra Pyromancer.
Right,
So, I mean,
right.
she's not bad at this, really, at all.
Yeah. It's
So.
just, I know that, what was it? Was it Domri, right? I think they just had the painting, and Brady was sitting there thinking,
No,
we
you're
gotta
thinking of
make this
Tezzeret. You're thinking of
Planeswalker.
Tezzeret.
Now, I'm pretty sure that they said that about Domri, too. I'm almost positive, because they're like, what if this little girl kid was a Planeswalker? That would be pretty sweet. And then they just made him a Planeswalker. I'm pretty sure.
This could be cool.
I'll
Because I
have to
know
go
Tezzeret, he
back.
turned it in extra.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that Alexei, it was just that he painted himself,
Yeah, he painted
right?
himself, and
And
he
they
was like,
thought it
"What
was so
if?"
cool
And
that
then they're
they just
like,
made it a
"We're gonna keep
Planeswalker.
this." And he's like,
Yeah.
"Oh."
But I'm pretty sure that the Domri picture is a similar thing where they looked at it and they were wondering what to do with this badass Grol kid. And somebody in creative just said, let's make that guy a Planeswalker. Like, why not? We could have a 12-year-old kid. Sure.
Yeah, we got this. Why the hell not? Seems cool.
But
All right, so
anyway, so
Harlan
Mike,
Court, big deal.
why is this a big deal that she's de being depicted as being over roughly 25 years of age? Because I know that this, was heavily talked about today on Twitter.
Well, the idea is that this doesn't really happen in gaming. This idea of when there's main characters, especially as women, they generally peak out at about an age of, I don't know, 25 or so. You don't really see older women. It just doesn't really exist, sadly, unfortunately. Even in RPGs, I mean, it's really, really rare. Even when they're doing character building, to find an older woman in the book. I have a few stories from back in the day working as an art director of things that would get cut, and it would often be the older woman depicted as an adventurer, older woman, a Jedi or something of the sort, which you're like, oh, that sucks. But then you don't really realize how damaging it is to not have that, to be literally erased from gaming. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what kids do. Once you're older, you don't get to game anymore. Like, that's terrible. So to see this is just mind-boggling amazing. I mean, we both saw Adrian on Twitter, and she was so happy she cried about it because she never thought that this would ever exist. And they even in the daily update, they missed the tweet, and it's I don't even know what to say because I didn't think they were ever going to do it either. I mean, they've been so pushing Chandra and Liliana. I mean, even Liliana doesn't really show her age, even though she's supposed to be quite old.
Right,
And I
right.
know
She
that's part
did,
of her
she,
mystique.
right.
Fine, I get it. But every now and then, she should look maybe a little more weathered, or a little, like, if she's in the wrong light, you can start to see she looks tired or something of the
Right.
sort.
That, or like, what is it, Tsunade from Naruto, like when she over-exaggerates herself or overexerts herself, she reverts to her actual age and looks a lot older.
Exactly. And then I think that would be much more interesting
Yeah.
and would give it a lot more flavorful interactions of, oh, there's tons of people who play this game. And
Well,
you
she
know what?
did in Origins, I believe they do show her older for at least a little bit
For a couple
before she
seconds.
does her final, pact or whatever.
It's like a second and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that could be the next step that Magic really has to embrace, that the player base is aging. I mean, it's not just young people that play this game anymore. There's a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, and soon to be 50s that played the game back in the day
Yeah.
and are now trying to find a way that they can interact with it again and kind of struggling to find that place. And this artwork just says, yeah, we got you, fam.
Right.
Like, in one image, you're just like, okay, I can see the game is growing with me, which Disney has for everything, how you age through this experience, and you can do these things differently. Star Wars is starting to do it too. Hasbro usually has it planned out for the kids, but no game has it for adults. Not past when you're past that geek chic phase or that geeky gaming experience. No one has that.
Yeah.
I just don't even know what to say about it. But other than that, the story, backstory, what do you think?
Her backstory I find very interesting, mostly for a couple reasons. One, she was an archmage at some point,
Which is serious
which,
business.
yeah, that's right. I mean, that
Serious
alone
business.
speaks to her experience.
Serious
So,
business, yeah.
I'm really interested to just see what kind of ability she has that maybe ties into that background a little bit when in her human form. The other cool thing is that part of her story is that she's desperate to preserve the lycanthropes on Innistrad. And I find that to be really interesting because the last time that we had someone who was of a monstrous race on Innistrad worried about saving other people of that same monstrous race, it was Soren, and he created Avacyn.
So,
I'm like really intrigued to see how far down the rabbit hole Arlyn is willing to go to save the lycanthropes, because maybe she'll create a demon or something. Like, I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
Could be anything. Could be anything.
I mean, that would be pretty cool. But whatever. I just found that kind of mirroring a little bit. That similar sort of, I don't know, situation to find herself in is just interesting. It's kind of, it's almost like foreshadowing or something.
It could be, and I hope it is. I think that would be such a fantastic kind of build up that she's gonna be almost.
She's just blowing up Soren's spot, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're using almost the same trope for it, but I'm okay with it. I think that would be a really great storytelling that they could get to utilize that, because people now want her to do something significant.
Right.
They totally do. They're like, you better be doing something huge.
So what do you think of the art? Let's talk about the art for a little bit.
All right, talk about the art.
Because I absolutely love all the little subtle details that are happening in between her human form and her wolf form, or werewolf form.
Okay, go on.
So, the easy one is the shoulder pad and the necklace, right? Like, that's easy. But the scars over her eyes in human form, and there's striping to match over her wolf form. Right?
Could have been a wound, yep, like that too.
It looks like, it almost looks like, I don't know, maybe she was fighting for alpha position in the pack.
Could be.
And it's an old battle scar. I don't know, kind of reminds me of Scar from The Lion King. Who knows, right?
Yeah, Scar wasn't the bad guy all along.
But I also like, so she has like these leather cloth, I'm not really sure, but wrappings going up her forearms. Those stick around. At least on, or they're on all her appendages,
they have that.
Yeah, which is also cool. And my favorite touch is her hair.
Yep.
How it comes down to the side ponytail and is tipped in white, right? Brown hair tipped in white. Yep. And her fur in wolf form is brown, and her tail mimics that and is tipped in white.
You hit on every point. I was going to bring up the tail thing, and that's such a funny touch that she added to it, and Winona is very, very, very meticulous when it comes to creating figures of any sort. Her promo Elvish Mystic would be the best example of that, where it's like, oh, okay, it seems to be a Native American elf. It's like, well, you do realize that Noni is Native American herself. Like, what she's wearing is indicative of her tribe, and you're like, oh my god, really? That's amazing.
Right.
And so, of course, she's going to bring it over into here. I just really appreciated that the palette really complemented Innistrad. It feels like Kesik. Ochre brown color in the background of the trees, that's Kesik. That's 100% Kesik. Like, nowhere else on Magic has that sort of color to it. And it's like, well, she did it quickly. It's like, no. The color was very, very intentional.
It's very deliberate.
Incredibly so. Almost to, it's like, it looks leather working-y. It has the...
Feels fall. It feels like fall time.
Right, which is exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
In Kesik, like, all the time. It's like eternally fall. To be able to see that is different from anything else. There was a previous flip werewolf, Village Ironsmith by Chris Moeller. And it also had that external sort of Kesik feel. If you look on the werewolf side, it has this like brown sort of building, it has this brownish red color palette, and you're like, oh, that's a werewolf. And she just takes it and says, all right, I have a planeswalker, I have more space to work with it, I'm gonna use that palette color everywhere, and then accentuate with white, little white here, little white there, a little bit of skin color here. But otherwise, it's a pretty muted piece overall, because usually planeswalkers are bright as hell. The Elspeths always have crap in the background, like temples and shit. This doesn't. It doesn't show you anything. It doesn't show you anything about the cities they're in or the pack she's in. She's just solitary, as a planeswalker should be.
So what I'm really what really gets me intrigued, right, about this particular card, is the background is very gold, right?
Yep.
Which makes me believe that she's most likely not on a gold card, because then the background would get washed out by the gold frame.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So we know that werewolves on Innistrad are red and green.
Right, right.
Right? So she can either be red or green or red-green hybrid.
Ooh.
Which would be a first and would also be amazing and would also play up her duality of human werewolf.
Okay, okay, I could see
so
that.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that she is our first hybrid planeswalker, red green.
Our first hybrid planeswalker, red green.
That's my guess.
She's not the first red green planeswalker.
Not the first red green planeswalker. She's our first hybrid. I mean, like hybrid mana.
Oh, hybrid mana. Okay.
Like red green. Yeah, like a red green frame with hybrid mana in her cost.
Okay, I could see that. Do you think she's actually going to flip as a planeswalker?
Yeah, she has two pieces of art.
I mean, do you think that's going to be integral to her story, almost like the night day original mechanic?
Well, I don't know. Well, the one thing, the one thing that I found really interesting though with her backstory that I forgot to mention was that so when her spark ignited, she planeswalked in a werewolf form, right?
Yep.
When she woke up on that plane, she was still in werewolf form and could not change back.
Right.
She found that she could not change back unless she planeswalked back to Innistrad.
Right, which was explained in the story.
Which is very interesting to me, right? Because we've had werewolves on other planes before, right?
Yep.
Like we've had them on Ulgrothra or whatever, right? Yep. For Homeland.
Yep.
So for some reason, the type of werewolf that she is, she's intrinsically tied to Innistrad and maybe Innistrad's mood. Like, I don't know. There's definitely some kind of detail there that we're obviously lacking at the moment. But I just found that to be fascinating, that for some reason, her ability to transform is directly tied to Innistrad.
I think that's fantastic. I'm so excited to see what the crap they're going to do with it.
Right. But they also talk about how she's in, because of that, because of experiencing that and basically waking up with her human mind, but in wolf form on a different plane, that kind of is what enables her as a character to be able to flip back and forth at will, right? So I'm thinking that her card will just have some form of, like maybe she'll have a zero ability that just says exile and return flipped. And then on the other side, it'll have another zero ability that does the exact same thing.
Oh, that could be cool.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you're just basically, it's kind of like Gideon, how Gideon has that in like built-in ability to just turn into a 5/5 whatever knight creature thingamajig.
Guy.
Like, her thing is flip back and forth. But what's weird to me is, like, when she flips to werewolf form, is she still going to be a planeswalker, or is she going to be a creature? Like, that's where it can get interesting.
That could be great.
Because, like, it would be so different, right? Like, I don't know how you would handle that. And then the legend rule gets weird. Like there are so many, like, weird mechanical things that screw with what the flavor could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it, like, if we were living in a perfect Vorthos world, like, she would be a planeswalker on one side, have a zero ability, flip. Now she's a werewolf creature you can smash face, right?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
That would be awesome.
That'd be nice.
But
that
has
means,
really weird
I
mechanical.
I want that taste.
That has, like, weird mechanical ramifications, though.
Well, you can tell Melvin to shut the hell up.
Right. Vorthos magical Christmas land.
Just Melvin, shut the hell up. Get sit in the back seat.
Mike,
you have a seatbelt on.
What if she's mono red on her planeswalker side, and when you flip her, she's mono green?
I don't even know what that would mean. Like, could that be
what?
I don't. That doesn't make sense.
I want to see this card so bad.
I do too. I'm psyched for this. In other news dealing with it, since Winona paints traditionally, that means both of these are paintings.
Oh my god.
So we have the first planeswalker that has two paintings and is going to go up for auction sometime soon.
Can you imagine having both of these on like either side of your
bed? Oh my god. Like, this is the type of crap that I grew up with back in like old country. Like, totally, it's on the wall, you know, the Grim Fairy Tale, whatever the crap. And they'd have like, you know, werewolf or whatever the shit. And most of the time it was like really crude or like woodcut or type shit like that.
You would have to frame these in those oval frames with like the big distended like glass that makes it look really creepy.
Oh, yeah. The framing is the key part. It probably might cost you a good grand just to frame it. But I'm so psyched to see
these original paintings are going to cost you more than that.
It's going to cost all the money to get these. Good God!
Yeah. Do you think these two combined will top Ugin?
No, I don't think it'll go that high. That was pretty much the high time for art. I mean, even now,
that was what 13. Right?
Yeah, I mean, Therese's Force of Will. If it gets 20, I will be very surprised. It'll probably sit at about 15K. Unless there gets a bidding war or some serious ballers get involved, like a magic celebrity that really, really wants it or plays Legacy. Like, it's got to be a pretty niche person to do that.
Right. I should buy it for Schuster.
Dude, oh my God. He'd love it. So, what else happened this week?
All right. So, another reason why Mike and I are so freaking excited today is that, in true Vorthos fashion, like, Wizards of the Coast is just going insane as far as their immersive marketing campaign for Shadows over Innistrad. I woke up today to find that my Twitter feed had exploded because somebody mailed a wooden crate to Spain with, I think, the holy symbol of Avacyn, like, burned into the front of it. And when they opened it up, it was full of burlap. And inside of the burlap was, like, a bunch of olden silver stuff.
Awesome.
It was sterling silver things. And there was a note in Spanish from Oliver Hayfield, who is the editor-in-chief of, what is the name of the paper? The Hanweir Chronicle, right? Yeah. Which we'll get to. We haven't even gotten to that yet.
Cripes.
But basically, there was a handwritten note inside, a bunch of silver objects, and the note, from what I can translate using my limited skills at using Google Translator,
nailed it.
It said, "They must be cast, or I'm guessing molten. The gunsmith needs money for armaments for the roof and the top of the wall. Can you take these to him? Thanks." And then, you know, from... what's his name? Oliver Hayfield, right? So it's kind of painting this story of this guy, Oliver, who's sending these metal objects to someone and saying, hey, the local armorer needs this metal desperately. Can you take them to him to be melted down and fashioned into some sort of, you know, plating or something that we can use as protection on our rooftops and on our walls? Why would you need silver to protect your rooftops and walls? Well, probably from werewolves.
Probably.
Right? Probably.
Probably. Maybe that's some sort of like indicator or something.
Yeah. What I don't understand, though, this is where it gets interesting, okay, is that typically you would want to melt down these silver objects into something sharp, like a bullet or a dagger that you could use to attack the werewolves, right? But they're creating plating for rooftops and for the walls.
Doesn't
so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I'm thinking maybe there has to do something with reflection, right? Because when you melt silver down into a plating, it's pretty reflective.
Yep.
So maybe they're trying to reflect the light of the moon for some reason, or the light of the sun, or I don't know. It's like maybe they're just trying to reflect. It's a different take on something that I would have expected, which is what I'm finding really interesting, right? Like, it's one thing to go to Innistrad and have everyone run around with silver inlaid daggers stabbing werewolves. Like, yeah, that's cool. We did that the first time.
That's fine, yeah.
Right? But what I really enjoy with magic is when they take that tried true trope and they kind of turn it on its head, right? So in their world, maybe instead of making daggers, they plate their roofs with silver for just some weird reason. And it's similar enough to the trope that it ties to that underlying flavor, but it's also different enough that it's magic.
And then you don't really understand what the hell's going on, which is part of the mystique that they...
And it's part of the fun. Right, exactly.
So I'm loving that. This is the same thing they did the original time with the Josh Grauer letters, Brouwer letters, and then they had an alternate reality sort of like find the info. It was nuts. There was the weirdest stuff. It was hidden in like Word documents, and there was like text you had to find. Like, it lasted for weeks. And I'm super excited for them to bring that back again. I think that was a really fantastic concept that they did.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so much fun. Like, it's making the so reveal season is already fun, right? Because 9 out of 10, we're going to a new world, we're exploring the new cards, we're getting excited about going to the new plane, whatever. It's just an exciting time, right? But when you throw in all of this just additional immersive stuff, it starts to blend the two worlds together, right? Because now it has me thinking, like, do I need to check my mail every day? Is there the potential that I'm going to get a letter from Oliver? Like, what is going on?
Thing every day that you got to be there to see.
It's absurd. It literally is taking Innistrad and bleeding it into the real world, which is totally amazing. And it's immersive, and it's making me that much more excited to not only see what the cards are, but also find out more about the story and these people. I'm like, Oliver, why are you melting down candlesticks and plating your roof? Like, I don't understand. Okay. I don't understand, but I want to know. Like, I want to know why you're doing this.
Okay, can we talk about immersion? Dealing with the young buck exploding onto the scene on Twitter this week. Because I feel like I've disengaged from Innistrad for quite a while. Like, I've kind of stopped paying attention to what's going on. I've got the comics, so I'm like, they kind of closed the door. And then we start to get immersion story, cool, new Planeswalker. And then Carrie Thomas Barquette at Vranos just goes on a tirade explaining what the crap is going on Twitter.
Well, does he know? Like, that's what I'm confused about. Like, that he's already looked up, or is it speculation?
I don't know. I don't know if Carrie is part of this or not. And Carrie writes for Gathering Magic. That's what's so crazy about it. All of these. Okay, so for people that don't know, Vranos, Carrie is the person that makes props for cosplay people. He's been on here once. Also is the storyline Vorthos of us on the art one, and is the flavor one with, you know, flavor text and names and stuff. So, you know, people take their specialties. So Carrie is the storyline person and is trying to understand why the hell is happening on Innistrad. And since there was a little information out there, Carrie's going through texts, Tumblr, books, inserts, trying to piece together what's going on. Jace is there. And goes through clues, almost this investigative, like, point one, point two, point three, like an investigator for, like, Call of Cthulhu or something, and says, like, the moon is the key to this. You know, Avacyn built the Hell Vault, or did Sorin build it at the same time as building Avacyn? And Jace is looking for what Tamio was working on, like, amazing, like, pieced together things. It's like, link, citation, citation, citation. And it's building up to something. I don't know what is going to be revealed, but it feels all like speculation that is led to by, like, crumbs through Hansel and Gretel. And it feels so oddly intentional. On the same day all this other crazy news happens, that there's someone giving Carrie info. There has to be of some tidbits of, like, keep pulling that string, you know, to find the cigarette-smoking man in X-Files or something. It totally is. Like, there's someone who's like, you're searching on this. Maybe you should read this article and see what happens.
I feel like Carrie is Jace in real life.
Without the hair, of course.
No, he has the hair.
No.
Dude, he's just Jace all around. No. I'm pretty sure we just got to slap a hoodie on the kid. And I'm pretty sure he's just Jace. Like, I'm starting to be convinced that Jace planeswalked to Earth and is just screwing with us. Like, and thinks it's funny. I don't know.
It's, for people that aren't on Twitter, totally check it out. It's very, very interesting, very entertaining, and it's the meat. It's not the person throwing a speculative thread on some random blog or on Tumblr guessing what's going to happen. It's legitimately hard research, citations in order. It's it's the things you want to know about before they reveal it to be ahead of the curve.
Yeah. And it's literally to the point where I'll tweet at him and ask, like, how do you know this stuff? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about, and I feel like I should know. I'm starting to think, oh, man, did I quote something wrong on a card that I wrote? Like, how do you know all this stuff? And he's like, oh, well, it's in this book from, like, 5 years ago in the original Innistrad and this one card, and I linked it to this card that was spoiled and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, dude,
how do you know all this So stuff? For people, we'll put a link down. You need to check that out. More news!
Wait, man. We got to go back and talk about the Hanweir Chronicle because I just glossed over that, and that Tumblr page is amazing.
So much more that's going to be coming out of that.
Right. It just started. It just kicked off Monday, right?
Yeah, so there's going to be
more. And by kicked off, I mean that everyone at Wizards just, like, nonchalantly tweeted a link to it.
Yeah, that was a little cheesy.
With no explanation at all. They're just like, oh, hey, here's this cool little link.
Just like, hey, what's up, Milk Dud Best Dog? What are you doing? And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, you know, at least coordinate something, like just a bit.ly linked, you know, to not know. And I'm just like, okay, great. So we're good here.
It would have been cool if some person just in an old newsboy outfit just threw the paper at the front door of like every LGS in the Wizards Play Network. Like a legit newspaper, just threw it at them.
Just like Newsies. It's straight up, as you think it's a Newsies, like, viral campaign.
With tricorn hats. Newsies with tricorn hats.
With three-cornered hats. There better be effing hats. We were promised hats. There better be.
Have we seen a tricorn hat yet?
No. Nope.
I'm pretty sure we haven't.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure that the art that's been revealed that we still need to get to, there were no signs of tricorns.
There better be hats.
I don't know, Mike. So far, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 new arts, and there are no tricorns in any of the new arts.
Like, it's going to get real if there's no hats.
I'm kind of upset that Jace isn't wearing a tricorn.
Maybe he is in one of the artworks.
That'd be pretty cool. Like, over his hoodie.
It's like a blue hat.
Tricorn. It's like a blue leather tricorn hat over his hoodie.
So money.
That'd be great. What the heck? That'd be hilarious.
Great. So,
oh my god, maybe with a little feather.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. So, Jason that's in the set. We know Nahiri's in the set. From the Kiri Twitter explosion, we know Nahiri blew up a crap load of stuff, got super angry.
Yeah, apparently she's real pissed about something.
Super pissed.
I don't know.
But what we don't know, in addition to the Chronicle, the newspaper, better than the Melrose Beacon, where they can still can't spell my last name right, there is a countdown. And by the time this goes up, the countdown will be over.
Tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Unfortunately, this will come out after the thing, so, you know, everyone will know by then. We'll have a little update in the bottom to do it. But Tumblr's losing their damn mind, for people that don't know. It is, people are having, like, minute countdowns. They're giving updates every few hours. It is absurd how excited they are.
Dude, I don't even understand. What are they counting down to? I don't know. What are they counting down to?
We don't even need to waste time on it today, because we're going to find out soon.
Nobody knows, though.
No.
It's just that, dude, this literally, they just threw a timer up on the main website. They just threw up a timer. We don't know what the timer's for. It doesn't correspond to anything normal. It's not like it corresponds to, it's not like it's a timer to when you can purchase Shadows Over Innistrad in stores. That would make sense.
Maybe it's like an San Diego Comic Con when they put it online and you need to buy something.
It's literally, so part of that header is prepare for madness, right? Like the madness is coming or something.
Yep,
I forget exactly what the verbiage is, but they're literally doing that to the community because there's a ticking bomb that I don't know what it is, and it's driving me insane. They're literally immersing us to the point where they're causing madness, a degree of madness where people are losing their minds.
They're getting into
because
it,
they do not understand what is happening. No one understands what is happening. You tweeted multiple times today, what the F is happening in Spain? I don't understand.
Yeah.
People are getting sterling silver, like, stuff. I don't. Well, what is happening right now?
I think some of this is also needed for the rapid release of sets. You need to build hype in a short amount of time for people to be highly relevant and care immediately. In the past, you had time to work on these things and slowly roll things out. Now, you don't have that time. You literally got to be like, Zendikar's over. I wrote an article about the retrospect of looking back on Zendikar, and I'm like, oh, that'll be fun, and people will have the last thing, and we'll close the door. Yeah, I could have written that like a month ago, apparently, when, you know, it was still fresh in everyone's mind. And dude, now it's like...
They had viral conspiracy stuff all last week, and so I wrote an article about conspiracy, and I'm already out of date.
I know.
It's already out of date.
We're going to have to ramp up and write faster and, you know, do shorter things that we can hit.
Yeah. Or just do Twitter rants or just do Tumblr posts. Like, I feel like the write an article and take, you know, put it up a week from the day that you wrote it. Just that doesn't work anymore. Like in today's Magic world, you can't, if you want to be current, how do I do that? I need to write it and put it out the next day. Like this cast ideally would go up tomorrow. Yep. Or tonight. It would go up tonight.
It would go up
almost. It would be live on YouTube somewhere or yep. Twitch or yep. something. Like,
well, maybe that's the next step.
Maybe that's our next step is we need to cast live.
Yeah, we have talked about getting upgraded equipment.
Yeah.
And then possibly adding live things to it and then, you know, posting it and however long it takes after. If it's becoming the new normal, I'm not against that.
Yeah. I feel like we should experiment with doing one live, especially for something like this where the news is so time sensitive.
Yep.
Well, because a week from now, this hype might not matter. People will be like, oh, we did that already. That's
well,
all.
I mean, we do have an editor that does Magic Mike, so there you go.
That is true.
We got the tools.
That's true.
All right, so that covered. New art.
Yeah, so new art. So we got our first Magic story today, right, where we were introduced to our new Planeswalker. But we also, more importantly for you, we got a bunch of new art. Got like seven pieces of art that we have not seen yet.
Yep.
Isn't attributed to a card. All we know is the artist.
All I know is there is one artwork that has me so excited for the past.
Which one?
So we got some lands, we got some wolves, we got a demon, fine. We got a dude with great sideburns. But that Nilsheim piece.
Yeah.
Dude looking in a mirror. That bug sitting on the back of him reminds me of the old school creature called Lissids. Do you remember Lissids?
Yes.
Where it's a creature and you can make it turn into an enchantment and it like sticks onto you and it gives them an ability and you can pay to move it.
Yeah, dude, they're the earworms from Animorphs.
They totally are. They totally are. And
do you remember Animorphs?
Oh my god, those things are so bad. Those books are so bad.
I had transforming action figures though that were really cool. But anyway, we're getting off topic.
Off topic. But that idea, these things haven't been around since Stronghold?
Tempest, right?
Exodus? No,
yeah, Tempest.
Like it's been a long, long time. And it's such an interesting ability to do like creature. Turns into aura, it affects you in some way, shape, or form. This thing right here with the eyes is doing that thing.
Yeah, it's very parasitic.
Yes. Right. And it might not be illicit, but that's the first friggin' thing that you should be looking at. Absolutely. Which is a crazy-ass thing to bring back.
Yeah, I have no idea what this thing is. It almost kind of looks like a heart. But not, I don't know.
It's a bug. It's straight out of Cthulhu. This is totally like
this is mirror, right out of Cthulhu.
The old timey thing, the guy with like the old school A shirt from like the 20s, 30s. Like it's straight out of a Cthulhu thing.
Yeah, gold framed oval mirror.
Oh, yeah, totally is. Yeah. Totally is.
Mutton chops.
I think that's fantastic. And then going into Kev Walker's sideburned fellow.
Yeah. You know what I love? I love about this is so Kev Walker usually just has a very monochromatic background, right?
He doesn't do much at all, yeah.
He usually doesn't do much at all. It's kind of smoky or something to that effect. So what's really interesting here is it's still that tried and true monochromatic background, but it's an out of focus look at whatever cabin or something that this guy is in, almost like a shop of some sort. This guy kind of looks like an Exorcist / Butcher.
Yeah, which because is the really, apron. It's the apron.
Yeah, which is totally throwing me for a loop. Like, are you going to exorcise the demon from my face, maybe, or are you going to cut my arm off? I don't know.
Bless
I don't
the meat.
Know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. But I like that it still feels like Kev, but it feels like a, I don't know, like it's an, like an evolution. Like, he actually has detail hidden in that monochromatic background. It's pretty sweet.
I just like the lighting. I mean, candle, and I can tell that he's very, oh, yeah. There's more candles in there. Dark room. And the hair just looks great. I just like crazy looking facial hair in magic. It's needed more often, especially with beards being so friggin' popular.
Yeah, this guy's beard's on the sides of his face.
I mean, beard game strong. Beard game very strong. Tree Folk, Jamie Jones, your boy.
Oh, yeah. I love this Tree Folk. Speaking of beards, this Tree Folk.
Tree leaf beard.
Is straight up tree beard.
Did you notice the axe in his leg?
No. That is a person too.
Yeah,
that's a so person. Oh, that person is so screwed.
It was probably stationary, and you know, it's a little visual gag. You're like, he's probably cutting on the tree, or he's trying to attack this thing, and he just noped him out of there.
Right. This is where I love magic and how the tone of magic is different, because in Lord of the Rings, you would have some bumbly, you know, axe-wielding lumberjack, and he would try to cut a tree down, and the tree would stand up, and it would be Treebeard, and Treebeard would be super friendly and be like, "Why did you do that, young sir?" or whatever, you know, and there'd be this crazy long dialogue, whatever. In magic, the same thing would happen, but the tree just stands up and smashes the dude into the ground.
Yeah, just cause he's going to stomp his face.
Yeah, and that's it. End scene.
That's totally a little art description cue. I mean, no one would add that unless asked.
Right.
You know, I like it. I think it adds to the storytelling of it. I hope it interacts with the thing somehow, like maybe it's Defender and becomes not, or something like that.
Yeah, like or maybe it's a land and it gets upset.
Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. That
it's
bad.
A landimal?
It's a landimal?
Is it a landimal?
It's a landimal.
Maybe.
I think all tree folk are technically landimals.
Yeah, they kind of are, aren't they? Aren't all elementals landimals, too?
I don't think all elementals are. Like, fire elementals aren't really landimals.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, you just poked a hole right through my argument,
nailed
sir.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump ahead, skip some lands. I'm going to go to the Minium's demon.
This looks like it's from Theros.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Right?
It reminds me of Ashiok, and that reminds me of Theros. But the wings, since they're inverted, look like butterfly wings.
Oh, I didn't notice that they were inverted.
Yeah, they're
that's weird.
Supposed to be moving, but
in a cool way.
Usually they have the top that goes above the shoulder with the wings.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it kind of surrounds them almost like a chair. But this is, they're down. Away from it, like very
that's
much
cool.
Bug, very bug-like. I think it's beautiful. I think it's so very interesting that you get to see, by doing that, you get to see what's behind the demon, and you can see it's some sort of crypt or
yeah, like church. A chapel or something.
Yeah, because there's two pieces next to each other that are high, so it could be a large cathedral, because they would have two spires.
Like Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, but they don't have flying buttresses off of it. So either it's going to fall down quickly, or it's held up by magic. Probably held up by magic, let's be honest.
What do you mean, flying buttresses? What are you talking about?
Well, if you have churches that have two tall spires, in order to hold that weight, you need a pointed arch. It's Gothic arch. I really need to write on architecture.
And a flying butt?
And a flying butt. I need to write on architecture for everybody. I really do, to explain how magic uses it. But when it's super tall, like in the middle of a building, that's when the tower goes all the way up. You know, you stand at the crossroads of a church. In order for that not to fall down, you need to thrust the weight out. So you'll have the top part, and then you have another building that has like sides that go down. And then the ones that are on the outside, it's like a pillar. And then there's like a horizontal thing sticking into the building. That's called a flying buttress.
Interesting.
So that thrusts the weight out from the top going straight down to outward at an angle. Usually it's like a 45-degree angle or something, and it allows it to stay upward. I'll show a couple examples of this, of flying buttresses done wrong, or churches that have done wrong, and you can see the wiggle when they break. But yeah, it's a flying buttress. We'll write a big article on it. I think people will enjoy seeing about architecture and magic.
But this demon has a flying butt.
Tris. Oh my god! Nailed it. And just like that art kid in like ninth grade that learns about a church and is just giggling.
I was the kid in the back of the class. Oh, that demon's got a flying buttress.
Giggles.
And they're like, Anthony, you'll see you after class.
Anthony Jerome.
Ugh. Anthony Jerome Tessitar.
Anthony Jerome. Scott Murphy's wolves look great. What do you think the ability is?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, so it could be. So first, I gotta just quickly talk about wolf number four chilling in the background.
Just kicking in the back like he gets stuck.
It's just like that one dog who's just always pissed, like the grumbly dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slightly more grumbly. But I don't know. I mean, it could be a couple of different things, right? For one, I can't tell if the fog is just the fog or if it's coming out of this wolf's mouth.
Sure.
So that could throw it, right? Also, they've got thorns or briars or something coming out of them.
Right.
So green traditionally has those, you know, limited creatures where you can pump them, like temp pump them for a turn.
Yep.
So I just feel like that would be an easy hit here. Well, or...
Okay, go on.
Maybe this is a flip side of a pack of werewolves. But I don't know. They look too wolf-like.
So
I'm torn. I don't really know.
This wolf, I mean, first of all, I see brambles. And if you played, you know, Diablo 2, you think of the thorns ability where you gain life and it hits them for a little bit on the ground if you're close to them.
Right.
If you look at bramble in Magic, it's generally an elemental. These aren't elementals. Okay, that doesn't work. What about Bramble Snap? That elemental, you tap a creature, it gets bigger. Well, nothing's really tapping. They're kind of materializing, because these aren't wolves. They're something not. They're somehow feeling the essence of this. I would look to a card like Wall of Brambles. So Regenerated Wall, 2/3, or Grave Bramble, which is a plant defender, protection from zombies, the, you know, plant versus zombies thing that Mark Rosewater obviously pushed for, you duh. I think this is a fog effect.
Yeah, you think so? And there's fog there, too.
I think it's a fog effect instant that you comes into play, or you cast it, and then three wolves will come in, and they'll have some sort of enhanced ability because of the fog. And they've been playing with those fog effects to get, like, in the commander set, like, oh, it makes a copy of all the creatures, and then they die at the end of turn, so you can kill all their dudes. But this, instead of it just being a fog, they'll be, like, things that materialize or get summoned and then die at the end of turn or make a three tokens or four tokens or something. I think that's what it's probably going to be. It doesn't feel like a creature because it's the format's wrong.
You know, so, like, wolf fog.
Yeah, wolf fog or something with lycanthropic curse or something.
Fog pack.
Maybe, yeah. Fog pack's not bad.
Fog pack would be cool.
It's almost sounds
like if this card is a fog that creates four wolf tokens, I will forever call it fog pack.
Fog pack would be an amazing game. I mean, it also sounds like fog hat. Very different thing. The band. Live in the dream.
Which also sounds like foil hat, which if
I think a fog hat with slow ride, what they're doing I don't know, but dig it. We got two other artworks, the James Pike Forest and the Andreas Roca, probably also Forest, but it doesn't
I don't know though, that one throws me. I think that the Roca one is a new land, like not a forest. And the reason I say that is because they went to the trouble of labeling the other one as a forest.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
So this is new forest art, right? Like, I know that James Pack did he did land art in the original Innistrad, but yep. This is new, correct?
Yeah, this one's a new art, yeah. I haven't
seen
this one
before. So because they labeled it forest, that makes me think that this other forest looking land is not a forest, is actually something else. Does it tap for green mana? Yeah, probably. But if you notice, the coloring is also very blue. So,
Wait, back up. This forest is the same forest as Innistrad 1.
Oh, it is?
Wait, hold up.
Is it?
They changed this. So, Innistrad 1, Innistrad the original gangster, in an Avacyn Restored, they had the same artwork but updated.
It's correct.
Brighter color, more colorful, whatever. This is a reprint from Innistrad. So it's dark
from
again.
Original Innistrad, so it's dark again. Interesting.
So some sort of reversion effect or something.
So what you're really saying is that my theory again has holes in it.
Again. Well, you wouldn't think this, because when you saw this image last, it was Avacyn Restored, and that's what it was. So this looks new, because the last one you remember isn't this one. You remember the new iteration.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's right. And this new thing could be a forest, but that spike in the background isn't organic.
True.
It's like a spike of... Yeah. Bramble or like a sliver or something.
Yeah, something weird. It's just a weird shape.
Intentionally in the middle of the frame.
Right.
Intentionally, it doesn't look like anything else. And it has...
It's just weird enough. And this, again, is very Lovecraftian in like horror, where you're looking at this forest and everything looks so unassuming, but the branches are perfectly forming this diamond-shaped frame of this weird inorganic object. And it's just creepy enough where you're thinking, what is that? And do I want to explore it or not?
Yeah. It's like a cultist. You get to peek at the
Yeah, it's creepy. It almost feels like I'm looking at something that I'm not supposed to be seeing.
Agreed.
I wonder if that's intentional.
Weird. Other than that, the other two are two. We have two Spectrum finalists. This will take a second. Spectrum Art Annual, it's a book, comes out every year. People have to submit to it. Magic submits like 20, 30 pieces. It's a huge deal to get included in it. Helps your career. Every art director gets a copy and reads it. Magic has never won an award in this. So each category, like editorial, institutional, unpublished, book covers, as a category, and you can submit to that and be included in this as like, oh, this is the best art of the year. And then in each category, they have like 4 to 7 finalists, and they win either a gold award or a silver award. People like Donato or Cynthia Shepherd win these a lot because they're really good. Magic's card art has never won one, ever. And this ever. Year, we have Wesley Burt in for Natural Connection, you know, the Nyssa art, and Tyler Jacobson is in for Exalted Angel from last year. Both of these are and they're in the same category, in the same run for the final. Tyler has been in it before with Rurik Thar back in the day. He didn't win gold or silver, unfortunately. But this year, we got both of these things in there. I think he has a pretty good chance to take first or second with it.
That Exalted Angel art is one of my favorite angels ever. Of all time. It is so good.
It just hurts me how good it is.
It makes me never want to draw anything ever again. it's like when you listen to a band or you listen to music because sometimes you'll listen to music and be like, oh, I really want to learn the guitar. Oh, I really want to learn drums. And then you'll listen to music where it just makes it seem futile and stupid.
Yeah, like I can't.
Like I will never do that. Even if I learn that instrument, I still won't be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's how good this piece is.
That's what this makes me think. I learned how to paint, I'm never going to do that.
I think it's those old school like sculptures of...
like looking at the statue of David and just thinking, give up now.
It's like the... in marble, they have this with a ton of different statues in Rome, where there's a cloth over the face of someone, or like wet drapery. The best is the Veiled Virgin. It's like this. Giovanni Strazza made this thing, and it's in Rome, and it's legitimately a woman's face with like a veil, like cloth over it, but it's sculpted into it. That's what this reminds me of. I'll throw a picture of it so everyone can see it. It is incredible to see up close, and this reminds me, it's an almost an homage to that, of like this is classical, of religious angels, of Renaissance artists trying to depict this in stone because they didn't have these materials or digital materials like we do today. Like that is mind-bogglingly amazing to do.
Yeah.
Not to say that Wesley Burt's piece isn't fantastic, But I don't think of Italian Renaissance when I see that one.
Right. And it's just even beyond that, I love when I can look at one of my favorite things about Magic, and especially the older cards do this a lot more, is growing up, I could look at a Magic card and it would immediately get me thinking, what world is this from? Like, what type of a plane does this creature exist on, and what kind of cultures are built around this, right?
Right.
We don't really get that so much anymore because we know what the planes are, and a lot of the art is built into that world building already.
Yeah.
This art did that for me, where I looked at this angel and I immediately wanted to know where it was from, what the plane is, why is that veil over their face? Does it have some sort of significance, similar to how the angels of Zendikar have their halos pulled over their eyes? Like, you know, are her swords glowing as if they're brands, but they're giving off light as if they're candles? Like, there's so much depth in this one image that it feels like a living, breathing world is there, and I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
Similar to like when I saw Ashiok for the first time, I immediately wanted to know, where do you come from?
Yeah.
You know?
It just looks like it has such intended purpose.
Yeah. Every item is there for a very specific reason.
Yeah, totally agree. And this has done it in a From the Vault.
Right. From the Vault Angels, right?
Which doesn't normally have that deep a storyline implication.
Right.
Just like, we got to do this thing.
Unless you're doing From the Vault lore.
From the Vault, the flavor. So that's going to be for next week.
Which will be next time.
We're going to do that for next week. And what I think people don't get is it's not the easy choices. That's not what it is. And you have to understand the age of what Magic is up to now. So Hero's Downfall, it's like, yes, okay, that totally makes sense. You know, Elspeth getting killed, sure. That's the easy level. The next level up is, well, what about cool flavorful cards that are played, actually? Like Summer Bloom. It has the poem from the Love Song of Day and Night and Day, but that, again, is not Magic today. You got to think of all the pieces of slush art they have, all of the concept art, all of the marketing art they have. That is what these cards are going to be made of. And that'll be next week. So thanks so much for stopping by with us today. We enjoyed you watching us. Please feel free to leave a review on the iTunes. It's just super easy to do. If you have any other suggestions from the Vault, it'd be great. We do have a couple interviews lined up in the future with some folk, which you'll see from Wizards. We also have a couple artists that we have lined up, too. We're going to get some new artists in here, ones that you might not have heard of, which would be great to see. But until that note, you can find us on Gathering Magic all the time, usually Wednesdays-ish. You can find me at Vorthos Mike. You can find the co-host at Ant Tessitore on the Twitters. But otherwise, thanks for stopping by, and we'll talk to you soon.